Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora. Or head on over to AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the articles and podcasts from some of the top conservative contributors all over the country. You guys definitely want to head on over to AmericaOutLoud.com, check out the articles and podcasts, and please share those on social media while you're over there. We appreciate that a great deal. Going to have on friend of the show, Colonel Julie Hall, once again tonight. She is currently at CPAC, and she's also going to be discussing what is happening over in Ukraine. So we're really looking forward to her thoughts and having her on once again tonight. Obviously, a lot is going on in the world, especially over in Europe, as we all know by now. I'm really looking forward to hearing what Colonel Julie Hall has to say. But first off, how are you doing tonight, Rob?
Andrew, I'm doing great. I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in tonight. Because like you said, there's a lot that's going on in Europe. And we always try to bring it home to our listeners, to someone who understands the art of war, someone who has been in war. And we thought, what better person to do it than Julie Hall, who's also running for Congress. So we're going to bring her in just a little bit to talk about what's happening in Ukraine. But I wanted just to give my spin on it, my take on it from what I see. It's unfortunate. The events that are taking place has always been leading up to this for some time. First, it was a psychological warfare, as we had mentioned on our previous shows. And now we're in the throes of it, so it seems. I'm surprised at the tenacity of the Ukrainians. They are fighting as hard as they can, although they're outnumbered. I would think that Putin thought that he would be able to seize the country and, you know, be done with it. And maybe he could, but we're in day four, day five now, and it still hasn't happened because the Ukrainians are definitely resisting. It is an independent country and they want their independence. Now, I hear a lot of people talking about it, a lot of the pundits and some of the generals that are saying, definitely Tulsi Gabbard, who's at, I think, CPAC, and the colonel can weigh on this. I don't know if she's spoken or not, but this is all centered around Russia not wanting Ukraine to be a part of NATO. You guys know my take on NATO. In my own personal opinion, I think it's useless because I think that we're, the United States, we're constantly providing them with troops. Yes, other countries are doing it, but we're constantly funding them. And what are the other countries doing? Why is it that Biden is out front talking, President Biden? Now, we're supposed to be the police of the world, but all these other countries, they have monies also. You look at Germany, we're protecting Germany. Why aren't they out speaking out? Why isn't Italy speaking out? Why isn't Great Britain? Why isn't France? Why is it the United States? And then when we do come out, they attack us and they walk all over us. Now, of course, when Trump was in office, that would not happen. But now that we have President Biden, and they're claiming, the media, that he's put together this powerful coalition and with NATO, and they're working together. Well, it's easy to say that, but from where I'm sitting, what I'm looking at, I don't see Germany out front. I don't see France. I don't see Great Britain. I don't see Italy. I don't see any of our other NATO allies. And when it came down to really sanctioning him, they apparently all rebuffed the idea of saying, let's sanction the SWIFT, giving all these different reasons. Well, we can't do it because of this. We can't do it because of that. So Biden is saying, well, we put some other hard sanctions on him. Sanctions don't work. Look at Iran. We have sanctioned them up to wazoo. We've sanctioned Russia before. What are the sanctions doing? We've sanctioned North Korea. Yes, it does break down the economy inside. But the folks at the top, the oligarchs, the folks that we really want to hit, whose attentions that we need, it doesn't affect them at all because they continue doing what they want to do. And I think what I thought was really evident that the sanctions weren't going to work is during the Olympics when Putin went to China and he was standing on stage with Xi. You know, if that didn't tell us something that, hey, there's something that's going on, what would? At that point, President Biden should have put his sanctions on, but he didn't. He snoozed and he lost. Now, Later on, who knows how this is going to pan out? But I think that we should have been at the forefront if we're going to do sanctions, as opposed to leading from behind. And now you have the media trying to, oh, he's just so good. And, you know, a real leader is in the House. That's what Joe Lockhart, Bill Clinton's former press secretary, said. A real leader is in the House. Everybody sit back and look and see what's happening. And then so many other people are tweeting and weighing in that makes absolutely no sense, because we all see that what's happening is what the left did to Trump when he was in office. They spoke a lot of noise, a lot of craziness, and look at the end result. We've got to do better. So without further ado, Colonel Hall, how are you tonight? Weigh in, give us your thoughts on this horrible situation, and how is your campaign going?
So let me start off with the campaign's going great. We're moving along very, very well, picking a lot of momentum early on. We know the areas that we have to work on this time around, and we're going out and hitting those. We did get redistricted a little bit in an area that helps us out. We got picked up a few more conservative areas, and we lost some areas that were not so conservative. So we're hoping between that mixture and a big drive on our part that we'll be able to get to victory this time around. Certainly the people's support based on everything that's going on. But I pepper that with it's Massachusetts. So that right. In itself makes it a difficult struggle. But in terms of the campaign, you know, when I first ran, one of the things I hit on very hard was our energy independence and how that made us safe throughout the world. And when what Biden did when he first got into office, now, and I say this time and time again, I do not believe that the Democrats thoroughly think out their decisions when they make them. And here we are today. We are now energy dependent once again. It's harming us, and we are not able to go in and help our NATO allies or the European allies because we aren't producing the gas, we aren't producing the oil. We could have gone in and said to Germany, so you asked, how come NATO isn't stepping in? Why aren't they doing all these sanctions? Do you know that the major European businesses, they're invested in some of these pipelines? Now, I've been doing a lot of research about the pipelines. And people keep talking about Nord Stream 1, Nord Stream 2. Nord Stream 1 is already operational and it's not stopped. So Russia has been delivering energy to Germany. Germany then filters that out through the rest of Europe. They're heavily dependent on Russia's energy. Nobody has shut that down, nor has anybody said, oh, okay, I'm not going to take any energy from you, Russia, because you are bad people. Not a one of those countries has said that yet. And we're not in the position here in the United States, and we could have been, to be able to make them feel comfortable with doing that. So that's, to me, one of the biggest concerns. And you're going to hear that over and over again, and why that makes a difference. We are continually, even the United States, to get energy from Russia. What a hypocrisy. So that, let's just paint that picture right there. The other part of this is, a lot of this is our self-inflicted wounds. I listened to someone today talk about the inner thinking of Putin. What could he possibly be thinking? I don't think that's too difficult. He looked at all these states that once were his or part of Russia, as he believes, or part of Mother Russia. And he's saying, hey, listen, I want those. First of all, I'm not sure if he actually wants all of them back again. But what he did not want is he did not want an infiltration of the West or NATO in his backyard. So that's quite evident. Why did, there's going to be many, many theories about why Putin decided to do this at this time. I believe that this has been very strategic. I believe that when he laid down that pipeline, and that was the first mistake, and people accepted his word that this was going to be a business proposition, Trump came in and said no. Rick Grenell came in and said no. Ted Cruz came in and said, do not do this. He will use it as a political tool. And here we are, right where they said that we were going to be. So there's definitely a lot going on. They say that Putin is a master of propaganda. And he uses that. But look at this. So they've been talking this morning about, and by the way, I'm watching on the TV. And so I'm kind of surprised that he hasn't moved quicker, which does tell you a little bit of something. There's something else going on. He hasn't cut down the internet. He hasn't taken out any of the utilities, which is, you know, if you're going to conquer a country or a state, that's what you're going to do. I don't believe that Putin believes he's conquering. I believe that he's taking over what he felt was his from the very, very beginning. I don't think what he expected was the resolve of the Ukrainians, which, despite how anybody feels, should we be there? Should we not be there? Should we be stepping in? We all have to say those Ukrainians are showing us some, you know, powerful, and I apologize, this fan going on behind me, but they have shown some very, very powerful resistance to right. one of the biggest countries. I mean, you're talking about one of the most ferocious countries. The other thing that adds a little bit of, and I use the word pepper to this, is there's no doubt that Putin, you know, has not been talking to China. They've been talking to China. They've been talking all along. So there's a series of effects that could happen here that we have to keep our eyes on. You know, we've been talking about Taiwan. China feels the same way. China has always felt. I was stationed, I think I mentioned at one point in time, I was stationed in New Mexico where we were training the Taiwan pilots. And we were told at some point in time that we could not call them Taiwanese pilots anymore. We had to call them Republic of China pilots.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So very interesting. And this was years ago. This was
unbelievable.
This was years ago. So, you know, these things sort of ferment themselves out over time. And anybody that's been in the military or has been watching any of this go on for years and years, you can see how these things sort of play out and what direction they're going in. But, you know, after being in for 3 decades in the military, I can kind of say, oh, well, interesting. This was going on at this time, and this played out this way. That one seemed to fizzle out. That's good. But you can now see how some of these things are playing out.
Right. And the question that I always have, like you said, you were in for three decades, is that some of the other generals that have been there, they see what's happening, and you would think they would be better prepared in providing intel to our elected officials. You look at China right now. We know that they want to go in to Taiwan. And you look at how the media's approach, as you were saying, you were told to say the Republic of China soldiers, and some of our folks in the media won't refer to Taiwan as Taiwan out of fear that China will get mad. I'm like, but who cares about China? This is the United exactly. States of America. And you look at what happened to Biden when he was questioned the other day as to whether or not they reached out to China to have them to speak with Putin. And Biden goes, well, I can't talk about that right now. Well, the answer is you did, and you were rebuffed.
Right.
You
exactly.
were rebuffed. The
and
strongest.
We
know that. And for the that's media right. to try to placate and to say, no, that's not what happened. They keep trying to make this guy, President Biden, seem as if though he's a major force to contend with. He's a major leader. He isn't. We have to accept that. Now, some would say, oh, but that's the office of the president. If we had to endure 4 years of craziness from the left and the liberal media attacking Trump at all angles, which is the same thing that Putin is doing to Ukraine. At every angle, they were attacking him using big tech, using the media, using politicians, using people in his own party to attack him. But he was able to withstand it all. And still, he was able to leave the country and make certain that we got what we needed and that we were respected. Now we have a novice in the White House who has been on the political scene for almost 3 decades, and he still can't get it right. He still can't assemble a team of advisors to help him get it right. The media has to come out with propaganda, just like Putin came out with propaganda against the United States. They're coming out with propaganda, making it seem as if though Biden is on top of everything, he's working with all cylinders, when he could not get those NATO allies to agree to just shut down SWIFT. Yes, they would have felt some uncomfortness, but look at Americans. Look at what we're encountering right now with gas prices. And no, the gas prices going up is not a direct result of what's happening in Russia. That is a result of Biden closing the Keystone pipeline. The supply chain problem is a result of Biden not knowing what he's doing. So they now want to blame this on Russia. Yeah, right now, at the tail end, but on the onset, this was due to Biden being incompetent. And his incompetence is showing clearly now with this whole excursion with Russia. And remember, he even said, well, I've spoke to Putin and I told him, you know, if they go in, it's going to be just a little minor excursion and that's it. And I also told him if they cyber attack on America, you can't touch this, that, and the other thing. Are you serious? Do you think a President Trump would have said that? I read in an article that President Trump told Putin, I know you want Ukraine, but you can't do it. You better not do it. All those pretty gardens that you got, you better not do it. Now, this is a man who was leading, showing leadership through strength. Something that the Democrats don't like. They like to roll over and roll over. So, Colonel, allow me to ask you this. Do you think, I mean, we have the most powerful military, I would like to think that, in the world. But don't want war, because after all the conversations we have had with you and with other individuals that have come on here, we all know that the industrial complex, they definitely benefit from a war. And we're putting lives, innocent lives on the line. I now feel it now. I now see it. After all the many conversations that we've had with you. I mean, I was always that person saying, oh, let's go to war. Not understanding completely the lives that we're putting on the line. We're sending people's children out to fight a war. Who's to say that they will come back? We want to be victorious. But when they go out there, who knows what will happen? So my question for you is, at this stage of the game, with all that you know and that you've seen, would we be ready for a ground war, our soldiers?
I think we would be ready. I think that the military, it's unfortunate that we always have to fight for our defense budget and that the progressives are always saying that we shouldn't fund them. And that's now, again, you could see the big mistake in that come to fruition, why we have to be ready and why we have to take care of, keep these people ready to go and protect it. I just don't think there's a stomach for it at this point in time in the United States after what happened in Afghanistan. And so you're going to see this sort of build up. You have a president that there's a lot of people that believe, and I agree, what happened in Afghanistan. Yes, we needed to get out of there. But the intel or the lack of intel, look at what we're seeing again. You can't believe that the country, ours, was the greatest intel, didn't know that this was going to happen and didn't better prepare Ukraine. I did see that recently, and I'm not if it's just recently, but that Ukraine has refused the US offer to evacuate. Now, if the US gave that offer, they must have known or must know in their head that Ukraine is going down. And So to me, if we had that kind of intel, again, why is this a surprise? Why didn't we act sooner? You know, why isn't NATO? These are all the questions that have to be answered. And these are not our questions to answer as the United States. NATO needs to step up to the plate, but NATO's hands are tied by what they did with Russia. By accepting this energy from Russia, they have their hands tied. So, you know, we're in quite a predicament right now. The only, I don't even want to say saving grace, but the hope is, and I've heard people talk about this, and we have to remember this, they still have thermal bombs in Russia.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Do you think they're going to, this is the next thing. Nobody's talking about this. Thermal bombs, they still have nuclear. And you've got a guy that's doing this in front of the entire world right now. The only thing that we could hope at this point in time is to keep on helping the people in Ukraine. We could help them fight back. We can get them out of the country. And you know, the other thing we have to remember, there is a group within Ukraine that are favorable to Russia, that eastern side. And that gave Putin a little bit of confidence to say, hey, listen, I've got some friendlies on my side, so I'm going to move in from the east. And that's indeed where he came in. So not everybody in Ukraine is pushing against this. So, of course, we supported the regime that's in there right now. When I say we, you know the whole Biden story, okay? We were very favorable. The Bidens were very favorable to the people that are in position right now. So if you look at some of these things and you add them up, you can see why Putin is a little bit upset about this and saying, hey, listen, you're not taking over my country. You're not taking, and again, I say his country, it's not his country, but that's his feeling in his head. The question is, will he stop there? Okay, so I know this is a great quickie that we're doing here, but the question is gonna come down to, will he stop there? I think we're seeing weaknesses already within the Russian army. They're going to have to figure out a way to constitute their army, reconstitute their army. It doesn't seem to us, or at least from what the media is saying, that this has been a very well planned out, but you know, he's done what he needs to do. Maybe it's taking him a little bit longer because the people in Ukraine are showing exceptional resistance.
Right.
Bravo to them. Okay.
Absolutely. We have to take our hats off to them. But something that you mentioned, Colonel, that I want people to keep at the forefront of their minds. I mean, really good points that you make is that there are pockets in eastern Ukraine that support what Putin is doing. There are also people within the country itself that are completely against it. And they're fighting back. I mean, I saw an little old lady the other day. She was, I mean, really letting a soldier have it. And we were saying that they haven't gotten to Kyiv yet. They're on their way. And I heard that when they went
21
there,
21 miles away.
Right. When they got there, were asking for a direction. Where is the capital? So it's not whatever Putin is doing is not well thought out. But one point that I definitely want our listeners to take away from that the media will not mention is Burisma. Look up Burisma. Burisma, Ukraine, Biden, Hunter Biden. And remember what he said on TV, that if they didn't stop investigating his son, Burisma. We've got to think about Burisma, and we've got to think about the pipeline that, as you said, Colonel, that I don't think a lot of people are aware that the United States, we're still getting a small degree
That's
of
right.
oil gas from them.
That's right. It's such a hypocrisy.
How right. It's a complete hypocrisy.
But this is still going on. It's what the Democrats have delivered to us since they took over, since this administration has been in, one hypocrisy after the other. And the American people, bravo to the American people too, for actually asking the hard questions now. I mean, we didn't for a while, and now we are. And with social media, we're seeing two sides. It's hard to tell the truth sometimes, but I think for the most of us, we can certainly tell when somebody's really lying. You know, it's hard to tell on some of these gray nuances of what's going on when the media comes in and tries to paint the picture. But some of this is so evident that you don't have to be a national scholar. You don't have to be I am by no means a national security, you know, expert. I've been there. I've watched what's happened. I had a top secret security clearance. I medical intel. I mean, when you get medical intel, you get a lot of things that a lot of people don't get. But the other thing to remember is one of the big reasons that Ukraine is able to fight back is because Trump did provide them with Javelin missiles. And guess what? That's what they're being able to do. They're being able to shoot down some of the Russian helicopters and planes with these missiles. And I don't think Russia expected all that. But again, Russia should have known that Trump did that. Of course they did. There's no secrets out here anymore. And I think that's the thing. There's no secrets. And so people have to look and wonder, how does this all happen? But again, I think the biggest things that I'm looking at in the future is, what is China going to do? Is China going to be emboldened now? They're watching very closely. What's North Korea going to do? They've been sending missiles across over Japan.
We can't take our eyes off of it. And because Biden, who has been weak on all fronts, no matter what the liberal media is telling us, we have to just be honest. We have to be brutally honest, because that's the only way we can protect ourselves, that Biden is not the man for this job at this time or any other time. As I think it was Defense Secretary Robert Gates said, Biden has been wrong on every foreign policy issue for the past 3 decades. Now that speaks volume. Now I'm surprised that no one in the media is replaying that tape over and over again. No, they would say, well, we can't do it because this is a wartime president. I don't see him as being a wartime president because we're not actively involved in the war. Maybe that's not the definition, but there is a war that's taking place by his own doing, unfortunately, because of this incompetence, and we have to call it out. We love the country. I love this country, but I will not lie. I'm not going to lie the way the liberal media wants us to lie. I can't lie. We have to speak truth to power.
We do. And one of the things we could do right now is gin back up our energy independence. Okay. That could help immensely both here and abroad. So that's, everybody's saying that flat out. We need to start this. Listen, I've even mentioned this before. I'm all for trying to find alternative solutions. You know, we want to start working at keeping CO2 carbon emissions down, things of that sort. That's great. I want my grandbaby to have clean air. I want my grandbaby to have clean water. I'm all for doing that. But you can't just flick the switch and take us off our energy independence, because it makes us vulnerable. Hello, vulnerable. And here we are. And so, you know, there has to be logic that goes on with all of these things. And I don't want anybody to kind of look and say, hey, listen, we shouldn't be moving towards these kinds of clean energy. And I don't have a problem with that, but I do have a problem with it when somebody says, that's the way it's going to be. You're going to buy electric cars. We're going to make you. And the fact that in my own state, the congressman, current congressman, and John Kerry both had the nerve to talk about what is this going to do to our climate policies? Are you freaking kidding?
Idiot.
Are you freaking kidding me? That, how insensitive that is in this time and where we are, and the fact that these Democratic policies, these Democrat and progressive policies, are the ones that put us here, number one, and have tied our hands to not be able to help our European allies by offering them some relief. That is a shame. That's devastating. It's dangerous. I can't even, as I've been here before, when we talked Afghanistan, I can't even conceptualize how we got to this point, except for one bad decision after another. That's how we get here. We've got to turn this around. You know, we've got to turn this around.
Well said, Colonel Hall. It seems that a lot of the Democrats' priorities are not in the right place. We appreciate Colonel Julie Hall, who's running for Congress in the great state of Massachusetts, for once again joining us tonight and giving us her thoughts on Ukraine. We appreciate her coming on. You're tuned into After Dark with Robin Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the shows. We'll be back with more After Dark with Robin Andrew.
Is a record player the best way to listen to music? Of course not. So why are you still taking vitamins that haven't been upgraded since the 1930s? Even if your vitamins aren't hard to swallow, it's time to upgrade to Healthy Cells pill-free, patent-pending microgel supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. They taste great, convenient on the go, and they're more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
The American Constitution is the most magnificent document on earth. We are America Out Loud. Join us as we celebrate the genius of our founding fathers. You can listen in on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
It's time to rethink COVID disinfection. A study by Harvard, Drexel, and Virginia Tech concluded, we don't have a single documented case of COVID transmission through surfaces. The reality is that COVID spreads mainly through the air. Shared air is the problem, not shared surfaces. The solution is the Genesis Fogger, which uses natural HOCl to disinfect both air and surfaces simultaneously. It's perfect for home or business. NIH says HOCl may well be the disinfectant of choice for coronaviruses. There's nothing more natural or more effective. Genesis fogs at the precise particle size to combat COVID and other harmful pathogens. It's what's missing from your disinfecting protocol. Visit genesisfogger.com. America Out Loud listeners receive a 15% discount with promo code OUTLOUD at genesisfogger.com/outloud.
And we're back with After Dark with Robbie Andrew. And the first half of the show, we had on with us Colonel Julie Hall, who's running for Congress in Massachusetts. And we brought her on so that she could give us an insight as to the art of war and what's happening. Now, as she mentioned, she served in the military for 3 decades. So she knows or has an insight as to some of the moving pieces and what's happening. But one of the things that she brought up, Andrew, and I'm sure that you noticed also, is the fact that America, we're still getting oil from Russia. And I read somewhere that Russia is making $2 billion a day from giving oil or supplying oil to the European countries. And that's the reason why NATO, or those countries that are in NATO, are kind of hesitant, I guess, to completely come out and say, oh, we're supporting Biden and what Biden is doing. You just have Biden saying it and you have Jen Psaki. So we don't know what's really going on behind closed doors. We know that the UN is meeting. I think NATO is supposed to be having a meeting fairly soon if they haven't already had it. But this is definitely a moving target. Things are constantly changing. We're on air tonight and what we thought was when we came on could change. I mean, they could completely just obliterate the entire country of Ukraine by the time this show is over. We just never know. But it seems right now the Ukrainians are trying to keep up an offense and trying to defend themselves. And I take my hat off to them. And as I said during the first 30 minutes of the show, this is something that Americans, I doubt Americans that are against America, like LeBron James, Colin Kaepernick, Mr. Knee Bending himself, would he be willing to fight for America? Absolutely not. No, he attacks America and say it's racist, it's this and it's that. But if it really came down to it, that the racist wanted to fight the non-racist, and I'm just being completely hypothetical and crazy now, would he be willing to suit up and fight the racist people? Because he would be fighting his own party. You know that, don't you? He would be fighting his own party. Absolutely not. He wouldn't do it. He would pay to have someone to do it. Colin Kaepernick would not shed a blood for this country. And you know why he wouldn't? The first thing he would say, I'm not going to shed blood for this racist country. But Colin, it's to make the country less racist. Why wouldn't you? All these people that are out there talking smack about the United States, if they had to fight, they would not do it. And the first thing they would say is, why would I fight for this country? It's done nothing for me. Yeah, but you're living in a freaking million-dollar home, driving a million-dollar car, receiving million-dollar checks, and you wouldn't fight? And who's making it so that you could do that? Americans. The Americans that you're telling them that they're racist, they're buying your products, and you wouldn't be willing to fight for them? You look at the Ukrainians. Andrew, some of these people, they don't know anything about the art of war, never held a gun. But they're saying, I will stay here and I will fight. To me, that's true patriotism. Being willing to die for your country. Whereas these knuckleheads that are rich, pampered athletes, they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't fight for their country. I would like to think that I would, if I were in that situation. Do you think you would fight for your country, Andrew?
Yeah, I would like to think so.
Yeah, we would all like to think so. But would we do it? How many of you that are out there that are listening, would you actually fight? I heard one woman on the news the other night, she was had been in the military. She said that she has 2 sons right now that are ready to suit up and fight for their country. But then she said, I do not want my country going into Ukraine. That is not our war. Now, some of you would say, oh, but that's so cruel. We've got to help them. They're so innocent. Right, they're innocent. And what they're going through is so unfortunate. And it's unfortunate that Biden did not have the foresight to plan this out. He and his woke generals, Lloyd Austin, and Mark Milley. They were too busy trying to read about Mao and these other socialist people, trying to understand racism and segregation and gayism and all this stuff, as opposed to being focused on what was happening or about to happen in Ukraine. And as I said once before on our show, I wonder if Mark Milley's counterpart contacted him to say, we're going into Ukraine on this date. Because if you recall, that's what he did to China when Biden and company with the media and all the other social outlets were successful in getting him into the White House. That Mark Milley called China and spoke with his counterpart and said, don't worry, we're not going to attack you. So did the Ukraine, his Ukrainian or his Russian counterpart contact him and say, don't worry, we're not going to attack America. We're not going to attack the other NATO countries, but we're going into Ukraine. I think that's a fair question that we need to know the answer to. But the media, they won't bring it up. They won't connect the dots. They won't say, hey, guys, remember when Mark Milley contacted his counterpart in China and told them that we're not going to attack? Well, interestingly enough, his counterpart in Russia did not contact him or did contact him, or his counterpart in Ukraine contacted him and said, hey, it's on. I mean, to me, that's worth knowing. But we didn't hear it. No one thought about it. No one thought to question him. No one thought to say, hey, we need to make the American people aware of this. None of that. We don't know the ins and the outs of what's actually going on other than what we see and what Biden is telling us. And we know, without a doubt, because the question was put to Biden, that China rebuffed them. China said, no, we're not going to tell Putin to stand down. We don't think there should be violence, but we're not going to tell them to stand down, because when we get ready to go to Taiwan, we don't want him telling us to stand down. Is Mark Milley focusing on Taiwan? Is he focusing on North Korea? What exactly are these people doing? We need to know. And as a colonel told us, these people are so busy focusing on other things that they're not going to call out the fact that we're still getting oil or gas from Russia. That pipeline, it's up, but they're saying we haven't certified it. Well, you haven't certified it to make it legal, I guess, but they're still using it. And remember Angela Merkel, when President Trump called her out and said, Angela, why don't you use our gas? Why don't you buy from us? Oh, she was like, oh, I can't be bothered. And when he called out NATO to their face, he was sitting in the room with them, and he just read them the Riot Act and said, how could you guys do this? Why wouldn't you buy oil from the United States? We're protecting your country. We're going to give it to you at a fair price. You won't have to worry about us trying to skimp over the numbers. We will be fair. Why wouldn't you guys, the other NATO countries, get it from us? And the guy sat there with a dumb face, unable to provide an answer. And now look at where we are. Look at what's happening now. Because the media wasn't going to call them out. They were just saying, oh, Trump was being, he was being a bully, bombastic. He was trying to pressure them. Well, he knew what he was doing. And if we had a legitimate media, if we had a fair media, they would look back on this and say Trump was right. But they don't want to give him any wins. Because in doing so, they know that people would say, you know, he was right. We didn't like the way he comported himself, but he was right. He spoke truth to power. And that's what we need. Those countries overseas, they don't respect or understand niceties. It's strength. They understand strength. And when Trump was in office, did North Korea do anything that they shouldn't have done? Nope. And what did Trump say? Little rocket man better be careful, because our missiles are a whole lot bigger. And the left, oh, don't say that. Well, he should. He called out China. China, you're not being fair. If you don't do what I want you to do, you're not going to like it. And it was a classic moment when President Tsai was at Mar-a-Lago and they were eating. Of course, the media didn't like it. Oh, don't do it. Don't do it. He's in bed with the enemy. And when Trump, when they were getting ready to have dessert, Andrew, and Trump told them it was chocolate cake. He said, oh, by the way, we just took out an Iranian chief. And this was during dessert. So he was letting this guy know, I don't play. And he told him, there was an article that I read in the New York Post, and he told President Xi, he said, look, or Chi, whatever they, some people say Xi, some people say Che, they always changing it. But he told the president of China, I know you want to go in Taiwan, but you better not do it. Don't do it, because there will be hell to pay. Angela Merkel, he sent her a white flag saying, hey, you've already surrendered. He did not play. And a lot of people did not like it. A lot of people, i.e. the liberal media, they didn't like it because they prefer someone like Barack Obama, who went to Japan and bowing down, who went to Saudi Arabia and bowing down. America does not bow down to anyone. And I guess that's the reason why all these athletes want to take the knee, because they saw Barack Obama bowing down. I would have given him a quick, swift kick in the keister. What are you bowing down for? They don't appreciate that. Yeah, they'll look at you and say, huh, chump, we got you. We're going to do what we want to do. But when you have someone like Trump come into office and they're like, oh my God, this guy, we don't know if he's going or coming, which is good. Because you never know that if you cross him, he will come back full throttle. And Andrew, that's the kind of leader that I like. That's the kind of leader that I wanted in the White House. That's the kind of leader that should be in the White House, not Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, whom the media is covering for, covering their inadequacies. She went over to, I think it was Belgium, and telling them that sanctions work. And that's the reason why we're putting sanctions. Even Jake Sullivan said sanctions work. And then Biden comes out the other day, gives a press conference, and he says, sanctions don't work. It's like, we do it, but for the long haul, they simply don't work. Well, they don't work if you don't put the right sanctions. As I said before, look at Iran, look at North Korea. Andrew, we have sanctioned them up to wazoo, and they're still going. Their leadership team. Now, the people inside are probably suffering because they don't have the basic needs like food, water, and clothing. But if you're of a certain level, the rich caste, they're okay. But the regular Joe Schmoes, they're suffering. They are suffering. So this whole thing with sanctions that Biden think he's doing with NATO, and they're laughing at him because they're saying, yeah, you can put that, but just don't touch the oil, because if you do, our economy will suffer. And as the colonel said, that's what they're looking at. They don't want their economy to suffer. But as far as America's economy, oh, that's okay, because you guys are all confused anyway. You don't know if you're men, you don't know if you're women, you don't know if you're Black, you don't know if you're white. Does that make any sense to you, Andrew?
It doesn't.
It's crazy. And along the same lines, I'm going to pivot just a little bit. As I mentioned something about the genders, and I said Black or white. Remember some time ago when this woman, Dunzel something, Johnson or something, she was white, and she was pretending to be Black. And once it was discovered, it was like this outrage, like, how could she? How dare she? You know, but when you really think about it, Andrew, why couldn't she say she was Black? If a man can say that he's a woman, and, you know, he doesn't even have to change his pecker. He can just say, I'm a woman, put on a dress and put on a wig, and I'm a woman. And we're told we have to respect it. Why can't we respect the fact that she says that she's Black? She can go and get a dark tan. What's the difference? I'm serious. What is the difference here? Why can't she say she's Black or say she's whatever color she identifies with? Because it's all psychological. Why can't she? Why were we attacking her? I mean, when you really go back and think about it, why were we attacking her for saying she was Black? And we don't attack a man who says that he's a woman. And along the same lines, when you really look at this, because we have someone, Chris Tremogli, who's coming on the show again, and he's going to talk to us about Leah Thomas and another story that he has done, did this weekend. And I think the story is just fantastic. It's an eye-opener as to how this guy, Leah Thomas, is parading around saying that he's a woman, and he's breaking all these records swimming, and he's in the female locker room with his pecker hanging. Like, what? No, I don't know if the pecker is aroused or what, but Chris is going to talk to us about it. But think about it. You have all these women there, and women are already timid about seeing themselves nude. And apparently from the article that I read, he's just walking around like it's nobody's business with his, you know, thing swinging left, right, up, down, and whatever. This is in America. It makes no sense. How did we get to this point, I wonder?
Yeah, I see part of the problem here is that we look at leaders like Putin or Xi and we bash them for being overly aggressive and whatnot. But then we see our own leaders in our countries in the West, like Justin Trudeau. We've seen what he's done to the Canadian truckers and the protesters. We see Joe Biden, what's happened to the January 6th protesters, what they're already planning for the Freedom Convoy in Washington, D.C. It's almost like our own leaders are dictators and they have no room to talk about Vladimir Putin or President Xi because the people that we have in power, both in Canada and the United States of America, are just as bad as they are, in my opinion. I mean, there's not much difference between what Trudeau did, and then you look at Putin arresting the protesters from the war. That's exactly like what would have happened in Canada in a similar situation. So our leaders really need to step up. We need better leaders. We need to stop electing people like Joe Biden, Kamala Harris to office, and a lot of our problems would be fixed because Joe Biden and the Democrats' agenda has just been a complete disaster, and they're basically dictators to the citizens, and a lot of our freedoms are no longer what they once were.
They're not, and if we're not careful, as I keep saying, the same thing could happen to us. What you bet that Biden and his team would like to do what Trudeau did and freeze bank accounts?
Oh, you know it.
Take away your liberties, take away your children because you're out protesting. Fire you from your job. I mean, and what they're doing is they're trying to squeeze you to be next to nothing, that you would have to just fall down on your knees and say, okay, I give up. That's pretty much what happened, Andrew, during the shutdown. For 2 years, we were shut down. And I remember it so clearly, Trump saying, I don't want to shut it down because it would be very difficult to open it up. And people didn't understand it. They didn't understand it because the media was not reporting on the stories the way they should. The moment they shut it up, shut it down, and Fauci, oh, just 2 weeks just to get over the hump. 2 weeks turned into three, a month, 2 months, four. And then 2 years later, we were still there. No, we can't open up because something might happen. And we're now learning and finding out that we just said, okay, people are just going to get this virus. That's it. That's the only way we can get over it is herd immunity. Now, Trump came up with the vaccine, and we have to be, as I said, we as patriots, we have to accept the fact that he came up with the vaccine. You might not like the vaccine, but he did. He was true to his word, and he brought the vaccine to fruition. Whereas the left said that he could not do it, he did it, and we have to give him credit for that. So he gave us a vaccine, but herd immunity would have been more successful. Yes, people were going to die, but more people have died with three vaccines under President Biden than they did under Trump without a vaccine. Truth to power, we got to keep putting that out there. We can't let them censor the information, which is what Canada is trying to do, censor the truckers, which is what Russia is trying to do. By taking away the freedom of the Ukrainians. Look at what we're going through now. We've got to speak truth to power. We've got to put it out there. So for 2 years, we were locked down. And when we slowly start to open up, and the things that we were noticing when we were under lockdown, what they were doing to our schools, trying to indoctrinate our kids, teaching our kids everything with the exception of basic arithmetic, reading and writing. I look at my 8-year-old son. He's in third grade, he and his cousin. And their penmanship is atrocious. I'm now trying to correct that because the schools don't care about writing anymore. They don't care about cursive writing anymore. They're too busy trying to social learn the kids. I received a paper the other day saying, we want to enroll your son in social learning. I'm like, hell no, no, no to the no. There'll be no social learning. I will teach him that at home. You need to teach him the basics. But these new progressive things, and people aren't aware of it. They're thinking that it's okay. Oh, this is a new way of learning. No, it is not. It's a new way of indoctrination. Whereas other kids are really learning in other countries. They're blowing our kids out of the water with what they know. Our kids don't know it because we have teachers that are into social learning. Those teachers who were taught that back in the 70s and the 80s, those kids, they're now teaching our kids. And it's horrible. So our kids are being left behind. And that is the reason why Trump supported, was backing that, hey, people should be able to go to whatever school they want to. Private schools, it doesn't matter. But now you got to be careful with the private schools because they now have their own form of indoctrination. The United States has just failed completely with these liberal, stupid policies that mean us no good. We're so busy looking at this wokeness.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Robbie. Look at that. And I see the same thing in my family. I have a nephew who's in the fifth grade. And just for the last few years of COVID, the amount of school that he's missed and the things that he hasn't learned that he should have already learned by now, it's just insane what we were at a fifth grade level compared to what kids today are at a fifth grade level. It's just night and day. These teachers, as you said, are not even teaching them the basics, making sure that they can read and write and write cursive. Cursive's just a thing of the past, I guess. I don't even think that they teach cursive in a lot of schools anymore. And it's just really sad what's happening to our educational system. And these progressive teachers, they don't want to work. We saw that during the lockdown. They're mad they had to come back to work. They're mad that the students get to take off their mask. They're a large part of the problem, the teachers and the teachers union. And it's so powerful. It's a lot to overcome. I think the teachers union has become way too powerful.
Way too powerful. And they do absolutely nothing. They're stifling the growth of our children completely. I mean, this, when you look at what's happening in the world, and America is supposed to be the leader, and we have all of this dissension and acrimony behind our borders and our walls, yet and still we say that you have the woke left wanting people to invade our borders and come here. Invade our borders. We should have troops at our borders. Biden was so quick to send the troops to Ukraine because of NATO. I remember Tony Blinken going to the UN and saying, we want you to investigate America to see how racist we are. Well, why don't you tell them to investigate America and make sure that we shut our borders? John McCain once said, and the media won't play this, that Tony Blinken should not be let near the state office. This was during the Obama years. He said the man knows absolutely nothing. And now we see that he knows absolutely nothing. Where is he? Why is he out talking about what's happening in Ukraine? He's busy trying to denigrate America. Where is he? Where is Lloyd Austin and Mark Milley? The woke generals. They're busy hoping that we can let the industrial complex give them more money. People, you've got to be aware as to what's happening. And Colonel Hall mentioned this. You know, some of these people are okay with war because they know that they'll get money. They don't care about your children, your loved ones' lives being put on the line. They could care less as long as they get their money. Yet here we are looking at a country being devastated. I hope this does not happen to Taiwan. I hope Lloyd Austin and Mark Milley have their eyes open and they're looking at the devastation that they're bringing, how they have ruined our presence on the world stage. And do not doubt for a minute, Joe Biden is incompetent. Joe Biden has not been successful. How can he be? He's a complete idiot. And then tomorrow he will try and give a State of the Union address, which will probably be incoherent, and they will praise it. Oh, this was the best one. I can imagine. Can you imagine Chris Wallace, Andrew? Oh, this was the best State of the Union I've heard in all the time I've been in the White House. I've been covering the White House.
I can't imagine it.
I mean, it's like they will sing his praises, knowing that the guy's a complete disaster. It's like, who are you trying to play to? The rest of the world already knows he's a disaster. All of our allies, they know that he's a disaster. It's the woke people in America that are trying to hold on to a glimmer of hope. Well, maybe they don't see it. Maybe we can make it seem as if though he's okay. No, he's not okay. He's a complete disaster.
Yeah, he's a senile old man, and everybody in the world can see that, except some of the liberals who voted for him and those of them on our, in our mainstream media who continue to cover for him. It's just a complete embarrassment for our country, Joe Biden has been. And I would say he's way worse than I thought that he would be. When he had the Democrat candidates up on stage, most of them were rather progressive. And I thought Biden might actually be one of the better ones of the Democrat candidates. And boy, was I wrong, because this guy has just been an absolute disaster from day one.
Well, that's because he doesn't know anything. He's completely unlearned. And I think the other factor that we have to look at is that he's 78, I think. And most people at 78 are completely alert. They're on their game. Look at Justice Breyer, the person that he's replacing. I think he's older than Biden, and Biden seems to be the older person. He's aging, I mean, at a rate that's unbelievable. The Joe Biden that came on the stage when he first started running, the Joe Biden, now they're completely two different men. Every day we get another Joe Biden. During the State of the Union tomorrow, we'll have another completely different Joe Biden. And I wouldn't at all be surprised if it's going to be late. I mean, the State of the Union should have been given in January, and now it's in March. We're heading into spring. And he's probably hating that he waited so long, because he's now having to deal with Ukraine. And for all we know, China, as we speak, could go in and attack Taiwan. Andrew, we are in a complete maelstrom. It's a complete mess. But yet, here we are, the United States of America. You have Ukrainians that are standing up for patriotism. You have Americans that don't know their butts from their heads. But we give them the freedoms that they have. Unbelievable.
Yeah, hopefully some American citizens can learn something about patriotism watching these brave Ukrainians step up and join the fight to defend their country. Much credit to them. Thank you all for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out on all the other shows over at AmericaOutloud.com. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Pandora, or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you like and subscribe. We'll see you guys next time. And remember, stand for something or you will fall for nothing.